Joe?
Hello.
Thank God. I've been talking to Buster for an hour and a half. We need somebody else on the line.
He's so annoying. Thank God I'm here.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast.
What the hell is going on here?
The best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Arifon Elijah, and we've got a special guest today. We've got Joe Brown, editor of Gizmodo, joining us today, who I just foobarred his name.
Please. What kind of operation is this?
Not a good one. I warned you before we started the show. Buster Hine is joining with us today, too. Hey, Buster.
What is your full name, Buster?
I don't want to say.
Is it Robert?
No, it's actually David, but we won't talk about that.
My dad's name is David. We call him Dave or Dad.
Really? I would love it if you called Buster Dad. I've been calling you Downtown Joe Brown the entire hour and a half before our show started. I hope that's okay with you.
Sound like my gym teacher, Mr. Middleton.
Did he call you that?
Yeah, because I live downtown.
That's great. Well, thanks for being on, Joe. We're glad to have you here. I should mention today's show is sponsored by Mite Tees, and we'll talk about them midway through the show. But they are the best place on the internet to get all of your favorite Apple graphic tees. Joe, you had a little bit of an adventure coming onto the show today. We tweeted about it, so I think we should at least mention your power went out in your building or something. What happened?
Yeah, man, it's really hot in New York right now. And when it's hot in New York, power just goes out because everybody turns their air conditioners on and starts licking the fan. And like any of these sits in the refrigerator and cuts a hole in the door and puts the air conditioner in the door of the refrigerator and sits in the refrigerator. It's like we don't really know how to use power over here very well. I mean, I don't know if you remember the blackout back in, 2001.
I do. I remember that. Yeah.
2002. But yeah, I mean, that's basically what happens when it gets hot is we just use up all of the electricity, which is a little bit of a weird thing to think about.
It is. That's so insane that you have enough people that you're able to shut down the power just by using AC.
Yeah, we try. We like to impress. And today there was some impressing going on, so I had to get on out of Dodge and go to somewhere that had air conditioning and power because I was not going to go to a place that had no power and no Wi-Fi. Yeah. And I was not going to go to a place that had Wi-Fi but no air conditioning because
that would have been terrible.
I'd be angry.
Yeah, we don't want you angry. Well, thanks for making the effort to get on the show. I know you were riding your bike around New York trying to find a place with both power and Wi-Fi.
Like a bozo.
I'm glad you finally found it. We're going to have a really fun show today. We're going to be talking about Microsoft's new tablet, of course, and how it compares to the iPad. And I know you and Buster have been arguing profusely on Twitter about Microsoft's.
I would call that arguing.
No, I'd call it bickering maybe, right?
No, Buster was talking and I was doing the internet equivalent of la 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 la.
Well, before we jump into that, I want to get your take, Joe, on the new iMacs that came out. Or not the iMacs, excuse me, the MacBook Pros with the Retina display. And I know those of us at Cult to Mac who are talking about it have not been underwhelmed by it. It seems like an amazing machine, but a lot of us haven't really been super impressed by it either, and it seems so expensive. Are you going to be buying one?
Yeah, it was an interesting roller coaster, an emotional ride that I've sort of been on with these MacBook Pros. The specs of them and the way they look are really compelling and attractive. There's a lot of horsepower under the hood. They are as thin as the thickest part of a MacBook Air, which is pretty thin. They're pretty lightweight for a 15-inch computer, and obviously there's that screen, so there's a lot to love. And instantly, I had my finger on the buy button. I just toggled every option to the maximum, and I was like, let's do this. And I'm definitely a new computer every year kind of guy.
Oh, you are? Wow.
Yeah. I have the new Mac, the last new MacBook Air 13-inch maxed out. And then I just decided not to do it. Moore's Law is getting a little bit ridiculous. I mean, yes, the processor speeds and the price of memory and all of these things are really getting so much more. There's so much more power available to everybody else that it's getting to the point where I don't even need it. I mean, I'm on my last gen MacBook Air. I run two browsers. I run Photoshop. I run my Campfire, my Teams group chat, AIM, at times Skype when I'm talking to good people like you and Twitter. And I literally don't feel any bogged down at all. And so I didn't end up buying a Retina MacBook Pro, mostly because I'm not really feeling any power penalties. Sure, I'd like to render things a little faster if I'm in iMovie or whatever, but right now the main thing for me is just how much this computer does not weigh. Like, it's so light, it's so portable. I barely feel it when it's in my bag. And
you mean your MacBook Air?
Yeah, my MacBook Air.
Yeah, that's a big selling point, because last show we were talking about the MacBook Pros, and it's definitely lighter, but it's not a lightweight computer by any means.
Yeah, it's not a MacBook Air. And I mean, I don't know, you put a Retina screen on the 13-inch MacBook Air, and I will literally knock over an old lady to get the last one.
I knock over old ladies whenever possible.
Well, you're just a jerk.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned that you use Photoshop a lot, and I do too. And that's actually been kind of one of my hesitations with buying a MacBook Air, because it doesn't have the discrete graphics. You haven't noticed any performance hit there?
I'm not playing Diablo 3, man. I'm doing Photoshop.
Right.
Like, I'm putting salacious headlines over Shutterstock images and, you know, tweaking color balance levels in order to make a photograph that I took on a camera look good, and adjusting levels and maybe doing some layering stuff and making a lot of animated GIFs. But other than that, like, I'm not a graphics professional.
Uh-huh.
I use Photoshop, I'd say, more than your average bear, but I'm not going and doing design work. I do think that this MacBook Pro is a hell of a computer for a design professional. I mean, our video editor is getting it, and everybody I know who's like super into video or photography is getting it, mostly because that extra screen real estate is really important. When you set the resolution up to maximum, you know, you have the ability. That demo that they showed really hit the nail on the head, which is you're running a 1080p video at full res, and it's not taking up the whole screen, which leaves you able to have your toolboxes and your timelines and all the things open so you can actually keep creating. It's definitely a computer for the creative class in terms of visual elements. But I think for someone who's a writer like me, I mean, most of what I do is write and be on the internet. The MacBook Air, it's totally fine. I'm not even going to get the new MacBook Air. This gen MacBook Air is the first time since I've been buying my own computers that I'm not going to get a new one.
Wow. I know the I/O capability of the new MacBook Pros too is just simply amazing. I mean, the SSD drive is super fast. You have the Thunder port, as I like to call it, which just makes it so much better to get, or so much faster to get video in and out of the thing. I'm sure your video editors are just going to love it, because I mean, I saw you guys at CES. You guys do a lot of video.
Yes.
And my gosh, I mean, when you're having to wait for video to render or for video to go somewhere that it needs to go, I mean, that's just money for you guys, right? And time, which for, you know, all technology sites is really important, because you need to break stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to get it out before Cult of Mac does, because you know we're right on your heels.
You're the guys with the British guy, right?
Right.
I'm not worried. We'll be all right.
Dude, you gotta be careful about Leander Caney, man. He's a viper. He goes straight for the heels, too.
Oh, man, I've worked with Leander.
That's right. You did used to work with Leander, right? Were you guys at Wired together?
We were at Wired together, yeah.
Okay.
And he always impressed me as somebody who was exceptionally slow. So
I beat him in a race several times. You're absolutely right.
No, I love Leander. Leander's,
I do, too.
I wish he was here.
I do, too. I know. He's traveling. He's traveling with Buster David. He's traveling the European countryside with all of his 12 kids and his wife.
It must be nice to be English.
Right. I think he's in France right now. Who knows where he is? But
they don't like the English there.
But Leander did tell me that you are a riot to hang out with. So I was like, we got to have this guy on the show.
We have a good time. I really like hanging out with Leander. But
I do too.
I'm having fun with you and Dad, so we'll be all right.
Well, let's move on from MacBook Pros, P-R-O-S-E, if you will. A couple light topics I wanted to ask you about. I don't know if you saw these Wacom jeans with the transparent iPhone pocket. Did you see these on the internet today?
I'm on the internet right now. Wacom jeans.
So basically this company came out with a pair of jeans, which are $160 that include a transparent pocket that you could fit your iPhone into.
Dude, I would wear the hell out of those, but I'm telling you right now, I'm a loser. So like, that's not any kind of endorsement. Those are super geeky.
those are super geeky, and they kind of shocked me that they're $160, because geeks generally don't like to pay money for clothes. They like to get them for free for trade shows. What's that?
Are they like Ed Hardy denim or something?
They're almost as brilliant, but they're just like skinny jeans with a transparent pocket in them. I don't know why anyone would actually want to wear these.
Add to cart.
I thought the fact that they were $160 was just brilliant.
Size 28, no way.
Now, if they had two transparent pockets, that might be something I would go for, because that's like that's a look straight out of Back to the Future too. Then I could wear my jacket inside out. What?
It looks like a gun holster, like when you're looking at it from the side, you know?
It kind of does, yeah.
I wonder if I put my phone in there and walked through the airport security, I'd be like, nah, it's cool.
Oh, especially if you have like your your airline ticket brought up already. Yeah.
It's like a school backpack. You can see through it, but I have to take it off.
You can make it through the security checkpoint so much faster with those on.
If you have put an Android phone in there, will somebody show up at your door and shoot you?
And on another lighter topical note, are you a Spotify user?
I'm an audio guy, actually.
Oh, you are? Interesting. Yeah, I used to be an audio guy, and I switched over to Spotify. Spotify has released a new update that allows you to use a radio functionality, or it has a radio functionality that's very similar to Pandora now. So that was something that was sorely missing for a while. Does RDO have a feature like that?
No.
They don't.
RDO is the in crowd. So you got to pay to play.
Right.
RDO has an unlimited plan that's as long as you don't sync it to your mobile, it's free.
Well, I thought it was limited though somewhat as far as listens were concerned. Is that not the case?
Yeah, I guess
anymore?
That's not unlimited. They have a streaming plan that is free, but you can't sync it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Spotify's just going, Spotify's got a giant foot right now and it's crushing whoever it can. Pandora really just is not holding up well with the competition right now. Spotify's catalog's better than RDO. I'm the first to say it. I only use RDO because I have a lot of cool friends who are on it and I have terrible taste in music. And so it really, with its interface, allows me to pretend I'm cool by copying what they listen to and listening
to
it.
Right.
But yeah, like the heavy rotation thing is awesome.
Yeah. And I also I enjoy it. From a design standpoint, from a UX standpoint, opening up RDO is a breath of fresh air. Spotify is ugly, but
I'm right there with you. Yeah, RDO is, I think, one of the best looking apps on the iPad and the iPhone, and their desktop app for the Mac is fantastic too. It's really beautiful.
And I'm also a Sonos, a really heavy Sonos user, and I have RDO, and my girlfriend has Spotify, and then I have all my bootleg MP3s from college on a NAS drive. And so at home, the thing that I really love about Sonos actually is that it provides a really seamless back end between your locally stored music, your internet radio, and also your streaming services. So I'm a little bit agnostic because I do have access to Spotify, but Spotify is just crushing every competitor right now. Like if there's anybody who has any feature that Spotify doesn't have, they really are doing their level best to end them.
They really are, yeah. And what do you feel about the sharing capabilities of Spotify? Because honestly, that was one of the reasons why I switched to Spotify. Because I was I thought it was really cool that my music would automatically be broadcast on Facebook. And I use it as a discovery tool, much like you do with RDO. So it's cool for me to be all on Facebook and see what my friends are listening to, and then click a link and automatically be taken right into the app. Does RDO have any kind of competing functionality? Sorry, what were you saying, Joe?
I said I have a little bit of a different take on it. I feel like my Facebook feed is all Spotify right now.
Oh,
because all my friends are on Spotify, and so you go onto the feed, and it's like literally like baby picture, Spotify, 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 Spotify,
right.
Baby picture, Instagram, and it's like I can't. I don't. It's becoming like Faceify. It's just every single update is Spotify because people listen to a lot of music.
Right.
More than they post on Facebook, I think. And if they have the auto post thing going on, it's just constantly in your feed. RDO, again, has that discovery window where you open up the app immediately and it is like it's automatically showing you what your friends are listening to. I think RDO was more designed around sharing and while Spotify was designed around listening. And so so you kind of see that in both of their product offerings. RDO, the listening is not as good as the sharing because, again, they don't have the catalog as Spotify does. And on Spotify's end, because they designed it around listening first, the sharing part, I think, is a little bit ham-fisted. I don't think
it's more like broadcasting, right? It's like, hey, here's what I'm listening to. Here's what I'm listening to. Here's what I'm listening to. Well, I should mention that the big news with the Spotify app is not just the radio feature, but the fact that you can now use Spotify on your iDevice. And if you create a radio station, you can sync that radio station to your device for free. So you don't need to be a paying user, and you can take that music offline with you anywhere you go, which is a pretty powerful feature to me, I think, because a lot of people don't pay for their music on these services. Are you a paying RDO user too?
I'm a paying RDO user, and then Christine, my girlfriend, is paying Spotify user. So we're
competing.
Everything. Well, we live together, so we've got it all.
Yeah, you really have every song in the world besides Led Zeppelin. I don't think they're available on either service.
I have more Led Zeppelin than anybody could ever want to listen to.
Me too.
I would say about half of that NAS drive is Led Zeppelin and Neil Young. Between bootlegs and the fact that they all released so many damn albums.
Yeah, that's true. Man, I could have a whole conversation with you just about Led Zeppelin. But let's move on. Let's talk about the iPhone 5 for a moment, because I know Gizmodo has one that they found at a bar. And I want to know the iPhone 5. Oh.
You haven't seen ours yet?
I know you have one. Just tell me what you know about it. Are we going to get a 5-inch screen, a 6-inch screen?
What we're seeing right now, obviously, is a larger screen. You know, in the 4.x-inch range.
Right.
Thinner, taller, and then they're going to maintain that 16:10 aspect ratio, which is working very nicely. Again, right now, there's the current things that we're seeing are like a 7-point-something millimeter thin phone, which is ridiculous. I'm using an HTC One X right now, and that thing is about 0.9 millimeter or 0.9 centimeters ish thick, I think. And that's me eyeballing it. Mm-hmm. And whenever I pull that out, people are just completely flabbergasted by the design of the phone, which is something that the iPhone needs to do again, because frankly, iPhone is a commodity right now. There are so many of them, they've ceased to become cool. Everybody's got, when you're on the subway and like the dirtiest dude on the subway is playing Angry Birds on an iPhone 4S, you're like, great. I feel really awesome right now. And I think Apple knows this. You know, so much of their marketing is passive by just having attractive devices.
Right.
And you see a MacBook Air and you want one. It is instant gadget lust.
Yeah.
The same was true when that first iPhone 4 came out. I mean, monumentally gorgeous device, a glass phone. It was straight from the future. This impermeable glass that responded to your touch. iPhone 3G and the 3GS the first iPhone was pretty incredible looking, but 3G and the 3GS were kind of dogs just because of the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think Apple really learned with the explosive popularity of the physical iPhone 4, 4S body that you need to have that sort of viral beauty. And I'm hoping that by being like impossibly thin, this next iPhone is going to capture that again, because I'm bored of the phone. I'm bored of the operating system. It's just too easy at this point. I got into technology because I like messing around with stuff and I like tweaking, and there's very little to do with the iPhone now. Everything just, you know, having used it for three or four years now,
mm-hmm.
everything is pretty much dialed in. I just plug it in and it's my same phone again. I think Apple actually has a little bit of a mistake on their hands with how easy it is. Maybe I'm just dumb, but it's just...
No, I get what you're saying. This is kind of a problem I've had too, is the fact that they're making things so easy to use sometimes that they take away that kind of geek factor where you can really kind of dig under the hood and play around with stuff. Like on InLine, right? Like the fact that the library folder was hidden and it takes you 10 minutes just to figure out where it is because they don't want you going into it and rooting around. Yeah. It's like those kind of changes are great for my mom, but for power users, for guys like us who really kind of want to get our hands dirty, it kind of makes things a little more tedious, I think.
You also don't feel special. Yeah, you know, like when I had Crazy Train is my ringtone on my Moto Razr
mm-hmm.
back in, you know, 2003. Mm-hmm. And people were like, how did you get your phone to play a song when I called you? And I was like, well, I hooked up a serial cable to a Marshall stack amplifier, paid three dudes to go and like turn off the servers at Motorola for 1 minute, and then had to hand code something in C++. I mean, like, you felt cool when you could do things with your technology, but now there's no cool factor in being an expert iPhone user. My mother is an expert iPhone user. Hi, Mom.
So is mine. Buster, what were you going to say?
I'm sorry. Well,
do you jailbreak at all, Joe?
Yeah.
And you just, I mean, I don't jailbreak personally because I just got tired of it. But yeah, there's that voyageristic factor of the iPhone. It's definitely not there anymore like it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I've recently switched over to Android just because... I mean, I wanted it to be not as easy again. Also, because I, you know, over at Giz, we are really heavily into Apple. We have a lot of very, very big Apple fans on staff.
Uh-huh.
So starting last year, well, actually starting in around January, I switched over to Windows Phone
mm-hmm.
for a few months. But mostly because of the hardware. Because again, it's that cool factor, this unusual hardware. I had one of the Nokia N800 Lumias really, really early, And you take that phone out at a restaurant and everybody's head turns. It's such an eye-catching piece of hardware. Still is, the smaller Lumia. And I wanted to have beautiful hardware, unusual hardware again. And I really liked the Metro interface on Windows Phone. It felt fresh, and I felt like I was tired of the iOS. But the apps just don't work.
Hmm.
I mean, like, Ardeo is a great example of it. Those guys build an amazing app, really good app, does not work on Windows Phone.
The good app that you're talking about is for iOS or for Windows?
The iOS app is beautiful.
It really is, yeah.
The Windows Phone app is beautiful as well. It really ports that the Metro design element into there, and it's built by Ardeo, so it's a real app, but you literally like can't make it work. I mean, I'm again, you know, paid subscribing Ardeo user, and I sync a huge library offline on my phone, like 8-ish gigs of synced music on the phone. And when I got it, would just I almost threw the thing out the window when I was on the trip. We were like in the middle of nowhere, no reception. I'm like, no problem, I've got my Ardeo library synced to my phone. And then I would get like the first 8 seconds of a song, and then get like and then the phone would like, it would like quit the app.
Well, I want to talk all about the Windows Surface tablet, and I also want to talk about the Metro interface. But let me tell you guys a little bit about our sponsor real fast. And Buster, let me just point out something about yourself that I know about you that I bet you didn't know that I knew about you.
Have you been stalking my Facebook? Is that...
I do that, but that's not where I got this information. You're probably not a big fan of Nip Burn, are you? Do you know what Nip Burn is, Buster?
Nip chafage, like when it starts bleeding.
You know, like when you're actually out in the sun with no shirt and your nipples get sunburned. Uncomfortable feeling, yes?
I guess.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Bear with me for a moment.
Have you guys railroaded me into some porn podcast?
No. I'm trying to tell our listeners about our sponsor. They have a product that can help you with Nip Burn, which is a major problem in sunny states. So the way to remedy this problem, Buster, is with a graphic t-shirt. You put it over your torso, problem solved, right? No more sunlight hitting your chest. You following me?
Yeah, I guess.
Excellent. This might be the best ad spot ever done on a podcast. The best place for you to get graphic t-shirts, especially graphic t-shirts that are inspired by all things Apple, all things geek, pop culture, mightees.com, mightees.com. They're actually selling the Cult of Mac Apple graphic tee, if you want to grab one of those. And if you want to head over to mightees.com, you can save 15% on your order. Just enter in the discount code CULTCAST15, that's the number one and the number five, at mightees.com. Let's carry on with our Windows discussion, shall we?
No, let's keep with the nip burning. That was great.
Do you like the nip burn example?
Not really.
You guys done with the porn?
Now we go into this the second more titillating part of our show, Joe.
Nip burn section. I'm going to be right back. I got to go to the gym.
Let's talk about the big news of this week. Obviously, everyone's talking about the Microsoft Surface tablet. Joe, were you actually at the event? I am unclear.
We had a guy there.
I think Matt Honan was there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What are your impressions?
Cagey about it.
What's that?
They were cagey about that event.
What do you mean? How do you mean?
Well, they like the week before, they were like, hey, can you guys please come to LA for an event? And, you know, I hold the purse strings, so I was like, what's the event? Tell me what it is so I can figure out if I'm going to pay for this dude who's, you know, to fly down to L.A. and, like, take a day. And he was like, they won't tell me. So they were like, it's really important. I was like, if it's so important, tell me what it is. They're like, we can't tell you anything. So I was like, okay, a tablet. And so we sent him. And really interesting event. I mean, at Milk Studios, Slash Gear actually had a post, which was pretty bad, but said some interesting things about how they said it was the rebranding of Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know if it was as much from Microsoft's perspective a rebranding. So I think Microsoft, A, always thinks that they're cool even when they're not.
Oh, man, that's true.
And B, was just looking for a cool event. Mm-hmm. But it was a little bit in the public eye, like, this was a serious coming out week for Microsoft because they have been 1-2 punching with news like you haven't seen in a long time. In fact, this month, and this has been one of the most exciting months in technology I can remember, it reminds me how good our team is when there is real news. Mm-hmm. Because, like, man, we had so much to work with. It was like was like Roman soldiers with something to kill again. but I mean, so the Surface Tablet is, as you guys know, there are two of them, a high-end and a low-end. One runs Metro, right, basically a mobile version of the UI of the Windows 8 that is only just the Tiles interface, and one runs full Windows 8, which has, you know, different screens and elements to it. And they look, for whatever little information we have about them, they look pretty amazing. And what's even more amazing about them, in my opinion, is that despite the fact that we know virtually nothing about them except they have NVIDIA graphics, they look to be serious tablet threats. And mostly it's because of design. You know, I mean, technology is the way that human beings tamed the world, and design is the way that human beings tame technology, because when these things get too powerful, they get a little inaccessible to regular people. And this Microsoft is definitely a company that's been guilty in the past of making their technology a little bit harder to use than their competitors. And this is why Apple has become such a valuable and huge company, because they've understood from the get-go that design, making these things accessible to regular people, that famous rounded rectangle typography, friendly computers instead of, you know, powerful computers. This marketing and positioning that Apple is so brilliant at has caused them to really take over a market. But this design of this tablet from Microsoft is outstanding. I mean, it's really hard to deny that as long as they make the thing work as advertised, like don't make it really slow, make the operating system stable, make the, you know, you're come out with as many apps as you can, and you better believe they are literally crumbling up $100 bills and pelting developers with them right now.
Yeah, they're going to be for sure, right? Apps.
Yeah, just to get the ecosystem as stable as possible by, we're thinking, October. But the tablet itself, the design is incredible. I think, you know, there is only one tablet to buy right now. Anybody wants to argue with me, I can tell them to shut up for you. There's only one tablet to buy right now, and it's the iPad.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's just, if you say that, oh, the Acer Iconia tablet is so much superior, it's got the blah, 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 blah processor and blah, 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 you know, whatever. I don't care. Like, if you care about specs in a tablet, you really shouldn't be buying a tablet. You should be buying a gaming PC.
Yeah, then you're not Apple's audience.
Well, you're not Apple.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a tablet is about a streamlined experience. It's almost, it's about a streamlined and much more efficient experience. What are you doing when you're not at the office? Mm-hmm. You need to be able to do some work. You need to be able to have entertainment interface. You need to be connected, et cetera. And the iPad has great stable ecosystem, as many options for broadband as you want, you know, with between Wi-Fi or Verizon or AT&T, you can pretty much get the thing to work anywhere in America. Mm-hmm. And for that matter, you know, Europe has its own options as well. And just perfectly honed design in the way the operating system is just accessible to everybody.
Well, let me give some more details on the tablet, just for those who didn't catch the I want to call it a keynote, but that's not really what it was. It's more like a presentation with all of their best looking employees.
Really bad. Where did they get those shirts?
And the hairdos. Oh my gosh. That guy with that super emo hairdo, I was like, just overdoing it.
Joe Belfiore's had that hairdo for a few years. Just, he did go through a makeover in the Xbox 360 days when they decided to make Jay Allard also look attractive.
Wow, you know all their names too. Good for you, man.
I'm the editor of Gizmodo.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Touche. So Microsoft releases a new tablet called the Surface, and it has an all-magnesium body. Correct me if I'm wrong at any point here, Joe, but 10.6-inch high-definition screen. It has a kickstand, so you can have it sit upright. It runs Windows 8 Pro, as you mentioned, or Windows RT. And kind of the big feature of this tablet that everyone was kind of oohing and aahing over was the it looked like it had one of those. It's like a magnet cover, just like the iPad, right? It's like the exact same thing, looks like it to me, but it has a built-in keyboard. And that's the part everyone was like, ooh, because I think
roundhouse kick to the head.
Yeah, because one of the biggest well, let me ask you this. One of the biggest complaints about the iPad, and I agree in this area, is that it's a great tool to use for content when you're just like reading or viewing content, but not for content creation. And it kind of looks like Microsoft is really going after that by including a keyboard. And I think Matt Honan wrote a piece about how that keyboard is really going to be what the success of this tablet is hinged on. Hey, no pun intended, right?
Oh, that was awesome. I give you internet high five for that.
Do you think, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty excited about this tablet. Like, you think it looks pretty spectacular. I mean, do you think it's going to give the iPad a run for its money?
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, right? It's not going to be an iPad killer. We already know that.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to kill the iPad. I mean, right. There'd have to be an historic shifting of allegiances and an unprecedented sales, for which that, you know, Microsoft couldn't even afford to prepare for the sales they would have to kill the iPad, right? Okay, like they couldn't afford it. They couldn't buy enough inventory to sell enough tablets to kill the iPad. Mm-hmm. But what you have here is a very, very smart tablet. And it's probably pretty likely that Apple will ape a lot of these features on their own, or Apple's accessory suppliers will as well. The thing is that the iPad is actually a very good content creation tool because of the app ecosystem. I use Photoshop on the iPad Touch. Photoshop.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I use Photoshop Touch quite a bit, actually. Hmm. I have done work on that Photoshop and actually made it onto Gizmodo. I mean, it is essentially Photoshop 3, which is, you know, people who are making magazines with. So it's a good program. There's also word processing and your, you know, cloud-based document services and, again, photo editing tools and painting tools. There's a lot of stuff you can do on the iPad. And the touch interface is really good for a lot of the visual mediums. There's, I mean, even doing some of the movie editing on the iPad's not that bad. Hmm. But I'll tell you what is bad, which is typing.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm constantly switching between the full keyboard and the split keyboard. The split keyboard on screen is the only one I can use that I can actually type quickly with. Right. The other one I think is just like good for a tablet, but that's like saying, you know, you're really tall for a midget.
Thank you.
It's, well, yeah, I mean, like, it's just not good. And so to have a really excellent keyboard,
if it is excellent, because we don't know that yet.
Exactly. To have but to say that they're focusing on that, that's really the one chink in Apple's armor right now, because all of the accessory keyboards for the iPad are crap. They're just complete crap because Apple didn't make them. You know,
right.
If Apple had put its mind to making an accessory keyboard for the iPad, I bet you'd be pretty good. Although, given I don't really like Apple's chiclet keyboard anyway, that like the too small, too thin, too attractive keyboard that
the Bluetooth one,
all of them, those little like aluminum, they're just Apple keyboard. I got carpal tunnel off those things, and so I had to switch to one of those horrible, ugly Wave keyboards.
Wow.
Yeah. When you type all day, you know it's important.
But at least you look cool while you do it.
Oh yeah, I'm in my touchscreen jeans.
In your touchscreen jeans. I was just gonna say that.
Same level. So I mean, it is the one place where I think Apple is vulnerable.
Okay, but couldn't Apple just come out and say, "Oh, you guys want a keyboard built into the smart cover? Here you go, boom."
Absolutely could. Totally could.
Like, and they just change the dock to the other side, and then create the same thing as the Microsoft smart cover thing. That wouldn't be too difficult, right? But it would force them to change.
They wouldn't do that. First of all, Apple is.
So?
Yeah, they're not going to do. Well, first of all, they're a stubborn company. Second of all, this is where Apple might get a taste of its own medicine. You better believe that Microsoft patented the hell out of that cover.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
And just like I can't actually touch a phone number on my HTC One X and have it dial because Apple patented that. I think that the keyboard smart cover is probably something that Microsoft has locked down pretty hard. And so good luck, Apple. I mean, if there's any company that can engineer or innovate around a patent, it's Apple. So hopefully they'll come out with something awesome. But the more important thing about this Surface tablet, regardless of whether it's any good or not, is we're having a conversation about a tablet that could be more interesting than the iPad for the first time. I mean, the Kindle Fire is the last time that I've been excited about a tablet entering the market. And that's just because the thing was cheap. Obviously it's not a competitor in terms of specs
not or at all.
Ecosystem. I mean, it's a color e-reader.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you bring up the word ecosystem, which was kind of a point that I kind of wanted to talk about more. I mean, that's something that Microsoft is really missing. I mean, they've had the same problem with Windows Phone, right? I mean, a lot of developers are kind of hesitant to build apps for their ecosystem because they may not ever sell anything. I mean, do you think that Microsoft is going to be able to just throw cash at this problem? Haven't they already tried that? to kind of build up all the apps, you know, that you that are available?
So Windows Phone has about 100,000 apps right now, which is not insignificant, right? Their partnership with Nokia is actually one of the more important things about it, I think, is bringing some of Nokia's software, not hardware, to the table. Nokia Drive, for example, is, and Nokia Maps, those things are actually incredible apps. Nokia Maps is better than Apple Maps that I've seen. I've only seen the beta. And better than Bing Maps and better than Google Maps. Yeah, thank God. But I mean, the Nokia Maps is outstanding. I mean, that is an outstanding mapping program. Like little really wonderful touches that show that it was designed for real people. And I mean, again, this is a European influence on the product. But when you type in, I want to get from my house to the office and I have to take public transit, it does things like tell me how many stops.
Oh, wow.
Really smart. It tells me, it gives me two options to walk. You know, this is the shortest, this is the fastest way. It's just really thoughtful mapping, and the visuals on it are really good, and it's pretty fast. So the ecosystem in Microsoft's app area is getting better. Also, they have till October, and if I were a developer, having just seen the massive commitment that Microsoft made to this, I would be pretty keen, because one of the really interesting things that Windows 8 is going to support, Windows Phone 8 is going to support the sort of lockdown app ecosystem of for corporate environments, right? So if you are a business, you can say, I'm giving Windows Phone 8 to my employees, but I'm not going to let them download any app they want. And so from the IT perspective, the ability to limit which apps you can put on corporate property is something that may seem like kind of crummy to a regular consumer. But remember that the reason that companies are hesitant to give out iPhones to their employees is because they don't want to give them toys. They want to give them productivity tools. And so when you start making an appeal, you know, a really interesting case for corporate use, you start to have much bigger sort of pool of customers. And so as a app developer, if I'm doing something like productivity, I'm going to say, well, this is where I make my B2B play. And B2B may not be very sexy, but if I, you know,
it's keeping Rim alive.
Yeah. Well, let's say News Corp decides to order 5,000 of these things, you know?
Right.
And let's say then all of a sudden, like, Delta Airlines decides they need 10,000 of these. There are huge companies out there, ExxonMobil, et cetera. These are not companies. These big, boring companies are not going to be ordering iPhones, right? They're going to be ordering something that works with their, you know, their corporate infrastructure. And again, when you get onto people's desktops at work, you see Microsoft Office, you see a Microsoft product. And so you have this sort of ecosystem play on a larger scale than Apple has, because Office and Microsoft products are ones that are really very present in the workplace. So you're going to start to see these phones, I think, and these tablets and these computers distributed from a little bit of a different perspective. Apple's going after the, you know, unemployed video editor, but
Microsoft. Hey, unemployed. Nice sliding that in there.
Well, I mean, I'm an Apple guy, so what am I going to say? You know,
right?
But I mean, it's true. Like, I would rather, if I could choose between a customer who's going to buy 5,000 of my phones and a customer who's going to buy one, right? Like, which one do you target? Obviously, Windows Phone wants to be cool. They're going to try and have sexy hardware, which I think, in the era of every iPhone looks the same, is going to start to be important. You know, you want your phone to say that you're a cool person. You want your phone to say that you do something different.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to be the guy who has the same phone as everybody else.
You don't
want
to be that dirty guy on the subway, for sure.
Yeah. Right? Or you don't want to, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I used to really feel cool having cool phones.
Yeah.
And right now, if you want to have the coolest phone, it's the iPhone, right? If you want to have the easiest to use phone, it's the iPhone. If you want to have the most advanced phone, it's the iPhone. And, like, having that be the answer to all these questions is just cool. Proof that there is that it's not cool anymore. It's everything. It's a commodity item. It's pork belly.
Well, admittedly, my excitement is a little more tempered than yours for this Surface tablet. But, you know, I am from Redmond, Washington. I have worked for Microsoft in the past. I really, you know, I would never discount them. I remember when they released the Xbox, the original Xbox, remember, and PS2, the PlayStation 2 was the absolute behemoth in the industry. And now look at it. I mean, it's like, I barely even know anyone with a PlayStation 3, and everybody I know has an Xbox 360, and that's kind of the de facto system. So I mean, is the Surface tablet going to push the iPad out of the market? We don't think so. I mean, I don't think that is a very illogical conclusion. But I do think it's exciting to have two viable options. I'm always Absolutely. A big fan of competition. And, you know, Apple does a lot of things right, I think. And the iPad is amazing. And I really love my new iPad. But I know there's always things that they can learn. And it looks like Windows has not only their most attractive employees on this project with the best hairdos, but they've actually got some real innovators. I mean, they're creating something that it borrows heavily from Apple, I think, but it's also got some innovative features too, which is the way technology works. And this is the thing I love about technology is you take something that may not be great and you make it insanely great, just like Steve Jobs did.
Well, also like the software wise, Microsoft has done an awesome job with Windows 8. And with Windows Phone 8, I wish the iPhone iOS had something cool like that, because the home screen on the iPhone is just boring. Whereas Microsoft, they've really tried to reimagine what it should look like and make something that's really cool, and they've done that. And so I'm hoping that pushes Apple to make something better with iOS and Mac OS X.
I would love to have some dynamic icons on the iPhone screen. I think that's long overdue.
The only one you can get is the weather one, right?
And the calendar one, which arguably is not that dynamic. It shows you the date, but
no, I mean, but like Dad said, like it's really important to drive each other forward. And for a long time, the only people pushing Apple to do anything interesting were people at Apple. Steve Jobs, you know?
Right, right.
And so Steve Jobs isn't here anymore, and you need somebody to push you forward. And if that comes from Microsoft, well, I would love to see fiercely competitive marketplace again. I hope this drives everybody forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let me ask you this, Joe. You've been using Windows Phone, and some people really love the design of, I should say, the UI of the phone. It's going to be the same on the tablet. Are you a big fan of it? Do you think it's better than the iPhone? Do you think it's worse than the iPhone? What are your thoughts?
Very different. It's very different. It's actually very refreshing. I mean, the only perspective I can come at it from is from somebody who is using the iPhone for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, first of all, the screen on the Nokia Lumia products is pretty outstanding. Mm-hmm. The clear black AMOLED screen is bright and dark at the same time, and it's just super luminous is the only way I can think to describe it. So that really helps. But also, you know, the tiles are a lot cleaner than having just a mess of icons up there.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah. I mean, the tiles for me feel very bland. And it feels to me like Microsoft is trying to have a minimalist UI to have it be handsome.
Well, have you seen the new start screen from Windows Phone 8? And that will happen.
I have not.
You can customize the tiles and everything, size as well as what's in it.
I'd love to just have them toss some gradients on it. Honestly, it's like, just put some gradients on it. I'm such a huge fan of gradients, man. It's like these flat tiles remind me of the shapes that you push through those like little like child toys where it's like the circle goes in the circle and the square goes in the square. It's like, just give me a gradient. Put some sparkle on it for me. I like glitter. I'm a fan of glitter.
This isn't the 90s.
I'm a big fan of the 90s though.
Oh, that's awesome.
you didn't like the Spin Doctors? They were great.
Oh, I really didn't.
That's a shame.
The interesting thing about it is it's actually a little bit new aesthetic. If you think about it.
It's
almost 8-bit. It's unusually forward for something that Microsoft is making. And I'm holding a Lumia 800 right now and just looking at it. And really gorgeous, round, pillowy shape. And then you turn it on and the icons are this very square and very almost, I mean, yeah, it's just really nice, almost Danish modern in their just strict proportions and sizes. And actually having the customizing of the size of the icons, you know, now there are three sizes of the tiles you can have, small, medium, and large. Small being I think it's a fourth the size of the current tiles, medium being the current tiles, and then large being like a banner, allows you to get a little bit more asymmetrical in there. And I think you can start to see, you'll definitely start to see people who are more creative creating kind of secondary patterns within the grid. And I think that will start to look a little bit more amazing. The ones I had on the demo, at least, were really beautiful. I was trying to think of how my phone layout would look in it. And I would try and have like kind of like a stripe going through it, you know.
Just a customizable bunch of little squares.
Yeah. I mean, like little bits, like little pixels.
Yeah.
Well, also shall be revealed eventually. Microsoft hasn't really committed to a release date, as far as I know, or price.
No,
so those are still things that we have yet to hear, right?
They said competitive, which means, I mean, Apple 5, 6, 7. That's what I mean. That's what you have to imagine, that Microsoft is going to pick one side of that range. They really surprised everybody, and them and Nokia, by making the Lumia 900 only $100.
Right.
So
yeah,
maybe 500 could be the upper limit of a Surface tablet. One can hope, but I would think 5, 6, 7 would be pretty reasonable to expect. You know, 500 for the RT. And then 700 for the Pro.
Well, we'll see just how what they decide to do. I'm definitely interested to check one out. And thankfully, my Microsoft store, which looks just like my Apple store, is right across the parking lot.
Yeah,
so I'll
me
be able
too.
To go. I'll be able to compare and contrast within minutes.
The only one.
And you know, strangely enough, their employees are dressed exactly the same too, except one has a Windows badge around their neck and the other has an Apple badge.
And every now and then they every day at noon.
Let's move on to wrap up the show with one of my favorite segments. So Joe, we're gonna play a game we call Faves and Raves. And I call it a game because you can actually win.
Oh yeah.
You don't win anything of value. Maybe the silent applause of our listening audience. So here's how this works. We've asked you to come up with an app or a piece of technology that you love, and you get about 30 seconds to pitch it to us, and then we're going to pitch you our favorites, and then we all vote on which one's the best. And you can't vote for your own. You have to vote for somebody else's. And Joe, because you are a special guest, you're going to get the tie-breaking vote. So if we each vote for somebody else's, you get to break the tie, and you can vote for whomever's that you want. Buster, do you want to start?
No,
yeah, I already
really.
Won, by the way.
Buster, you never want to start. Okay, I will start. So I'm going to tell you about a little piece of tech that I really enjoyed reviewing. So I get to review a lot of stuff working for Cultimac, which
jeans?
Is awesome. They're a pair of jeans that you can put your iPhone into, and they have a clear pocket. They are great. I'm a photographer, and I love reviewing photography accessories. And this week, I have been playing around with this thing called the C-Loop, made by a company called Custom SLR. And it is a basically like a little screw that you can screw into the bottom of your camera. And then you can connect a strap, and you can hang the the camera from your hip, which is a much better way to wear a camera than around your neck. It's way more comfortable. It
keeps you can wear it there like a BlackBerry.
Yeah, exactly, which would make you look even cooler. And the C-Loop has like a little adjustable ring on it that swivels freely. So it keeps your strap from getting tangled, and it also makes it really super easy to orient your camera in either horizontal or vertical positions, which a lot of accessories like this don't let you do easily without having your strap get tangled. So that's my pick. It's called the C-Loop. It's about $40, and you can find them at customslr.com, I believe. Joe, what's your pick?
I already won this. You sure you want to?
Dude, let it fly. Let it fly, my friend. Let's
All right.
hear it.
Well, my pick is the chili pad.
Is that something they serve at Chili's with your
no.
baby back ribs?
It's actually an air-conditioned mattress pad.
Oh, my
Whoa.
Goodness. I need one.
And I slept on it for the first time last night, and I did not want to get out of bed. I set my sheets. I set my sheets to 61 degrees Fahrenheit and crawled under my comforter. And I had to actually turn it up, get it warmer in the middle of the night because it was so effective.
Well, now how does it work? Does it just blow air into your body? Or
it has a little compressor that sits outside of your bed, which you really can't hear, and it pumps cold water through the sheets underneath you, through the mattress pad. And it's dual zone, so I have one side, and my fiance has another side, and we can have our own individual temperatures.
Well, now is like the sheet stiffer at all since it has liquids running through it?
It has these tubes, and you can kind of feel them, but actually not really. I mean, it just feels like if you had when you sometimes you get like a wrinkle in your sheets or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't really very bad at all, and setup was super easy. You just fill these things with water, plug them in, set your temperature, and turn them on. And
is it heavy?
Really. I mean, I'm not lifting my bed.
Oh, you're laying on top of it.
Yeah, it's underneath you.
Oh, okay.
So you just
gotcha. Okay, I thought it was over you. Okay.
No, you can also actually use it to heat the bed. So you can set it to be, warmer as well.
Interesting.
But air conditioned sheets, man. That's
now,
all
is this
I need
something
to say.
You're reviewing for Gizmodo, or is this something
yeah,
that you purchased?
You'll see
Otis?
The review very soon. I'm pretty much.
That's actually
much
a, a very good idea, I have to say, especially for hot location. I mean, I'm in Seattle, Joe, so I would never really need anything like that. But
well, you're in Seattle, so you could turn it up and heat yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Dude, I need one in Phoenix.
I think he was. I think Joe was right. I think we lost, but go ahead, Buster.
Yeah, I can't compete with that.
Yeah, well, at least tell us something. Just humor us. Just pick anything.
I've been playing around with the Parrot AR drone 2.0 a lot.
Yeah, that's right. This is pretty cool.
The last 2 days, and it's pretty sweet.
Great.
I really suck at flying it though, and I almost got it electrocuted on some like high power lines at the park.
Oh, Dad!
But other than that, I mean, we don't have a lot of tall buildings in the suburb of Phoenix that I live in, so you can put it up pretty high and then get an aerial view.
That's really cool.
Normally wouldn't see. So I don't know. It's pretty sweet, but it's not as cool as chili pads.
And now, Joe, I was trying to convince Buster before you came on that he needs to get his rollerblades on and ride around and do those sweet rollerblade tricks that you see old guys do, and he can coordinate his drone maneuvers at the same time.
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
I think we lost Joe.
No, I'm here. That's not cool. You asked me to tell you that's not cool. I'm telling you right now.
You gotta see it in your mind's eye. He's wearing short shorts. Maybe if you'd seen Buster, he's got a shaved head. He's got a beard on. He's got his beard. He's got his short shorts. You know those awesome guys you always see on the boardwalk with their rollerblades on or their roller skates, even better, and they're just doing the sweetest maneuvers you've ever seen?
No.
That's no, let's do it. All right.
Buster, okay. Don't do that. Well, everyone don't do gets it, Dad.
Everyone gets a vote. Buster, why don't you go ahead? Who are you voting for?
I really need Joe's chili pad, so I'm voting for that.
Well, if you had reviewed roller skates, I probably would have voted for those. But yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go with the chili pad too. You know, the AR drone seems cool to me, but I just don't get the point. It flies for like 15 minutes.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, since I already won, I'm going to vote for the AR drone.
Okay.
Because actually we have one in the office too, and they're amazing. And we actually did almost lose it really badly by flying it onto the roof of another building. then Brent, the guy who was flying it, had to like break into that building and go up to their roof to get the thing, which was teetering on the ledge out of Bluetooth range. Or so he couldn't actually control it anymore. And he was trying to, and it was like about to fall several stories to its death and our non-existent review. So
it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun at Gizmodo.
We have so much fun at Gizmodo. If you guys are ever in New York City, I would hope that you please call me and come visit us, because we have a lot of fun, especially in the summer where we have parties on our roof several times a week.
I know. They talked about that on the NBC special that I saw, and I was like, parties on the roof? I was like, we don't even have an office.
But you guys have Charlie Sorrell.
We do. That's and true. Charlie's great. That's true.
I love Charlie Sorrell.
Oh, so you know and Charlie too. Him. Wow.
Yeah, I actually am the person who brought Charlie into Wired.
Oh, he really is great.
When he was living in Barcelona. He's still in Barcelona.
Yeah, he still is.
He met my friend Tony in a bar.
Uh-huh.
And I asked my friend Tony if he would cover CTIA for us.
Uh-huh.
And Tony said he couldn't, but he met this guy in a bar who maybe could. And then Charlie wrote for Gadget Lab for like 4 years after
that's
that.
That's so funny.
Nice.
It was awesome.
And now he's the Cult of Mac Reviews editor, and he's doing such a great job. So.
He's doing a killer job. Yeah. That looks great right now.
Thank you. And we love him too. He's just the nicest guy.
He really is.
And good it cook. Doesn't is he a good cook? Oh, see, there's a good piece of information. And it doesn't hurt that he's in Barcelona, one of my favorite cities in the world. If I ever go over there, I'm going to be like, hey, dude, can you take me to lunch? And kind of hope he just invites me to stay with him.
Doesn't hurt that he's in Barcelona, so he gets you that jump on the news cycle.
Oh, that's actually another good point. Yeah, that's true. Well, hey, guys, we are out of time.
Awesome.
Joe, I loved having you on. I hope you'll come back on again in the future.
Only if Dad starts fights with me on Twitter.
What if I goad you a little bit? Maybe we can get you back on.
Pretty easily.
And also, if Leander's on, too, it's just going to be a riot because then we can all be on at the same time. You know, Joe, my assumption is that your tweets are very interesting. So if people wanted to follow you on Twitter, where would they find you?
They would find me at Joe MF Brown.
Now, does that MF stand what I think it stands for?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Great way to distinguish yourself from all the other non-MF Joe Browns out there.
I just found out there's another Joe Brown who's also in tech, who's also an editor.
Oh, really? What site does he work for?
All Things D. He's the managing editor.
Wow, there you go. Well, it's such an unusual name. That's surprising.
Yeah, I've heard he's a cool guy. It's going to be a shame to kill him.
But well, there really bury can the
be
body.
Only one of us.
Well, if you want to follow either Buster or I on Twitter, Buster is BST3R. I am at ERFON. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how to's, follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. That's just Cult of Mac. Check out MikeTees.com, MIGHTTEES.com. The discount code is CULTCAST15. That's with a numeral 1 and a 5 at the end. The CULTCAST is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CULTCAST come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening. Thanks again, Joe.
Thanks,
and we will catch
me,
guys. Next time. Clear! Joe, you're great. Thanks, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. It would be awesome because right when I was asking Charlie to, right when Charlie took the job at Cult of Mac, I was also trying to get him to work for us.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah.
And his main sticking points were like, I don't know, it seems very hard.
Well, you guys actually work.